The inspiring, call it obituary if you like, but it's much more than that. That heart-stirring, warm obituary that Anna wrote in the Hamadiah. I saw it in the Hamadiah. Might have been in other publications as well. Just after the patira of Josh, Zeicher Levracha, Zeicher Tzadik Levracha. And she wrote many, many aspects of Josh's life. Stirringly, of course, full of emotion. As much as possible put down in a newspaper, put down in an article. So one section was about children. Looking after children, the way Josh honoured, took pride in his children, and of course still does, min hashamayim, min gan eden. As we know, a child is the most precious commodity that a person can have. Use the word commodity loosely, of course. When a child is conceived, the anticipation, the excitement, awaiting parents for the child to be born, to bring another child into the world, to continue the chain, the Masorah, all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu, all the way down generation after generation, and I am about, Be'ezras Hashem, to bring a child into the world who is going to further that chain and strengthen that chain. The glory and the pride which I will have in this child knows no bounds. And to the awe which fills a would-be parent, how am I going to be able to do justice to this child? And how am I going to be able to do justice to the Ribbono Shel Olam after having granted me this child, to be able to look after the child, to care for the child, and to make the child into an Eved Hashem. To be able to do all I can to cherish the child so that the child will want to go Bederech Avosov or Avoseho. We read about Josh, Anna wrote about Josh, the great kindness and warmth in encouraging others. To look after other people, to be able to give them the ability to continue and further his work, to be able to say, this is what I gave you, now please continue. He always explained things gently. And that is the way, the rule number one, to be able to further the education of a child, is to be able to patiently explain exactly what you want. Sometimes we think that a child understands because we understand. We have a full sentence, we have a subject, we have an object, we know what we want with the entire message, but sometimes when we give it over to the child does not take the message in the same way that you are trying to portray, you are trying to convey. And sometimes the child has the exact opposite message, or no message at all, blank, completely blank. To be able to patiently explain to a child, and not to get angry, not to get flustered, not to get overworked, not to get egged on, or in nowadays expressions wound up, or other expressions, but simply to be able to patiently and calmly explain to a child, this is what I want. We read in the Gemara of Preda, who taught a Talmud 400 times. You know what that means? To be able to explain something to somebody 400 times, again and again and again, whether it means dafka 400 times, it might just be a guzma, beloshin guzma of the Gemara 400 times, I don't know. Are we mechuv to believe Dafka 400 times?
399.
399. Once you've given over something to a child so patiently, as Rav Preda did, which is a lesson to us, Please, I want you to understand it, and I want you to have it clear. Once that's clear to a child, we can begin to fully appreciate that we are looking after this child. We know that a child only has a Yetzer HaTov when he's bar mitzvah. Before bar mitzvah, the child does not have a Yetzer HaTov. Before bar or bas mitzvah, the child only has a Yetzer Hara. Does that mean the child only wants to do bad? The child only wants to go against his parents? Rabbi Jacobson, Rabbi Y.Y. Jacobson tells a story that one Yid went over to another Yid at the Chasna and he said, my name is so-and-so and you were my Rebbe many years ago. Do you remember me? You were my Rebbe. He looked at him and he said, no. I remember the name, but I don't remember too much about it. I don't remember details. He said, in that case, let me remind you of a story, and I'm sure as soon as I tell you the story, you will definitely remember me as your Talmud. Okay, it's going back many, many years, to middle age and younger than middle-aged person. The story was, a boy in my class came over to you and said that I had stolen his watch. Which in actual fact was true. I wanted that watch, and I tucker stole it. I stole the watch. It was in my pocket at the time. And the Rebbe knew, and the Rebbe knew that something was emes in the accusation of this other boy, but he had no idea, no idea at all. So, I made a mistake. The boy said, someone had stolen my watch. He didn't know it was me. So the Rebbe said, I want everybody in the class to line up. Line up. Straight away, the Rebbe went and he began to search through the pockets of all the boys lined up. He found the watch in the culprit's pocket. He took the watch out, put it aside, carried on pretending to search all the other pockets until he came to the end of the row. He then returned the watch to the Nignav, the one from whom the watch was stolen. The Rebbe did not say a word to me. Not a word. He knew it was me because he'd taken the watch out of my pocket. He could have scolded me. He could have told me off. He could have done. But he realized that I was the one who had learnt the lesson. I had the busha of having the watch on me found by Rebbe, and that was all he did. And he could see that the Rebbe still looked a little bit puzzled, a little bit unsure. He said, Rebbe, don't tell me you don't remember this story now. I mean, surely you remember that I was the one from whom you took the watch. And the Rebbe said, I'll tell you the truth. I still don't know, because I told all the boys in the row to close their eyes. So nobody knew it was from you that I'd taken the watch. But the thing is, I had also closed my eyes. So when I took the watch off you, I didn't know it was from you. I found that it was from you today, all these years later. I did not know that you were the one who had the watch. Said the boy, this was even more mispoiled now than he was before, because till now he thought that the Rebbe knew from whom the watch was taken, but he didn't say a word. Now he realized the Rebbe didn't even know. He said, such a giving over to education for the sake of education, that the person should want to go on the right path and not be interested in any kind of revenge or any kind of attack or any kind of furtherance of bad feeling. This is what the Rebbe wanted. The Rebbe realized that whoever had taken the watch had learned his lesson. The lesson had been learned, and that's all there was to it. A child needs to know right and wrong. And once a child knows what's right and begins to learn not to do what's wrong, telling anything more to the child about this matter needs careful thought, whether it's because you want the child to know even more what's right and what's wrong, or whether it's your own anger and your own frustration that needs to be, what's the word, it needs to be
vented.
Correct. Once you've realised that, once you've realised that the child knows what's right and what's wrong in this matter, you've done your job. And any more would be your own feelings being frustrated and being worked on to ease your frustration. As we said before, we have a Masorah, the chain of tradition going down from father to son, all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu. Every Jewish person has a chelek elokai mimal, a neshama inside a person. This neshama is something so special and so amazing and so brilliant, we have no idea. In the past couple of years, there was brought to publication a picture or even a video of the Chofetz Chaim walking to the Knesset Gedola in, I think it was Vienna. Yeah. To be able to see the Chofetz Chaim, the Baal HaChofetz Chaim, the Baal HaMishneh Brura, actually walking along, his body moving, walking along towards a building, and this was a guf. We didn't see the neshama, we saw the guf. But we saw the tzura, we saw the shape of this person, we saw the Chofetz Chaim. We could only begin to imagine what the neshama would look like. There's an awe-inspiring picture of the Mansha Roshiva making Havdalah Motzi Yom Kippur. Now, I don't know if anybody was eichet to be there at the time. Anybody who's eichet to see this picture, even somebody who's a non-believer, would see a tzura of the Rosh Hashiva making Havdalah Motzi Yom Kippur in his kittel. Maybe tell us as well, Mr. Omar. Looking like a Malach Elokim Tzavokrit. Take that, and we're talking, that's about the guf, as far as we could see. Now, let's imagine the neshama. What we can do to a neshama is unbelievable. Just by saying words of Torah to a child, we are talking words of Torah to the neshama of the child. The child gets to hear the words of Torah. His neshama becomes permeated with the words of Torah and Kedusha and Tefillah. In other words, we infuse the child with the story of Hashem. The child becomes a part of the story. Be part of our story. That's the beginning of positive. Part of our story. A child obviously looks as if the child might be bored, the child might be switched off, the child might be turned away. It's only because the approach is a wrong approach, or not the right approach. Be more gentle. If the approach is with warmth, and with great feeling of love for the child. Coming back to our dear Josh, this was how he was to his children. With full of warmth and full of love and full of care. And full of positiveness. We can achieve so much. And we can enter into the neshama of the child. Obviously when he comes to a grandchild, it's a little bit different. With a grandchild, you got one generation apart. It's not quite the same. Although the love of a father, of a grandfather to a grandchild is a different kind of love. The love of a great-grandfather, great-grandparent to a great-grandchild, it's unbelievable. To be able to say Do I want my child to reach a certain standard? To have a standard in which I want the child to attain, and I want the child to be able to say, this is a standard I'm setting for the child. Is it a standard that you're setting for the child? Or is it a standard that you know the child can attain? If it's your own ego, or your own rotten, your own desires, it might not be the right one. It might not be the right standard. But if it's a standard that you've worked on, and you know your child can reach that standard, your child can reach that stage, then once you've done that, then you can say, right, let's work together towards. Let's work together towards finishing a Masechta, and then we'll make a Siyum. Let's work together. Child comes home from school, and the child has 40%. A mark of 40%. Instinct of a parent is, what happened to the other 60%? Or, let's go over the 40% you got right. Let's go over the words you got right. Let's go over the 40% that you Tucker steigned in, that you Tucker achieved. Then we can talk about the 60%. But first, make a big thing about the 40%. Wow! 40% of the work you were able to achieve. All right. Next time, it'll be 50%. Next time, it'll be 60%. Time after, 70. You build your way, it'll be further and further and further. We're talking about positive reinforcement. To be able to say to a child, come, let's travel together. What happens if the child, Tucker, could have done much more? And the child messed around. And the child got 40, not because of lack of ability, but because of lack of work, or lack of pulling himself together, or pulling herself together. What would be the approach then? The approach would be, listen, my dear child. One option is, I can get angry. I can shout and scream. Now listen, you've got 40% and there's no excuse for it. Had you worked, you could have got at least 80. I can't believe you got 40. Let's think together. What would that achieve? The child has fear. The child is afraid of the parents. Okay. Doesn't want to get told off again. Next time the child will get a higher mark. It'll be mitoich yira. Well, at least the child's got 80% now. But as soon as the child will have a chance not to have to work, the child won't work. So you might have achieved 80%, 90% next time or the time after, but the desire for the child to work will have gone. It would have evaporated. Because all the child remembers is fear and pachad. Does that mean never tell a child off for having achieved 40% if the child could have achieved much, much more? The answer is no. Obviously, we have to tell off a child. Obviously, we have to do some kind of teichacha. But the word teichacha actually doesn't mean telling off. The word teichacha means showing. Showing the child which is the way to go. Come, I will lead you. Let's go together. Let's work together. And we'll see that you could have achieved so much more. Why did Hashem choose us as Klal Yisrael? Why did Hashem choose us to be the nation, to be the Am HaNivcha? There's very few reasons in the Torah given, but one very famous pasuk. Why Hashem chose Avraham Avinu to be the first Jew? Ki yedativ Leman asher yitzaveh esponov v'espesoi achrov v'shomru derech Hashem. To be able to instruct your children. To be able to give over to your children and tell your children, tired children, this is the way forward. Let me instruct you, let me show you, let me help you to join and become part of the Mamleches Koyanim v'Goy Kodesh. To become part of the Masorah. We are now Yomim Neroim. We now, believe it or not, Erev Yom Kippur, Tes Tishri. Moshe Rabbeinu was coming down the mountain on Yom Kippur, on the 10th of Tishri, with the words of Hashem ringing in his ears, Solachti Kidvorecha. I have forgiven the Jewish people of the Chet HaEgel. Forgiven. And not only that, Moshe Rabbeinu, but I'm telling you that every single year on this day, on the 10th of Tishri, I'm going to forgive Klal Yisrael. It's going to be a Yom Slicha Bekapora. What does that mean? What does it mean Hashem forgives us? Does that mean a person could do anything all year round? As the Mishnah says, Echter v'oshuv, I will sin, and I will do teshuvah, or Echter v'yom kippurim mechaper, I will continue to sin all year, do whatever I want, and Yom Kippur will be mechaper. Does that really, is it that easy? Is it that simple? Yom Kippur is a glorious day. Yom Kippur, we've just had Rosh Hashanah. In Rosh Hashanah we had Uvechein Tein Pachtecho. Uvechein Tein Pachtecho Al Kol Ma'asecho V'Eimoscho Al Kol Ma'ashebaroso. If you think about it, it's a bit of a chutzpah. But we're turning round to Hashem, a mere boss of Adam like myself, and we're turning round to Hashem and saying, Hashem, please put your glory, your fear, your dread over everybody in the world. You're telling Hashem how to govern the world? You're telling Hashem how to rule the world? What's going on? You want panasa? Ask for panasa. You want gezunt? Ask for gezunt. You want nachas? Ask for nachas. But for you to start saying, uvechein tein paktecha, and uvechein tzadikim yiru, you are dictating to the Eibishter how to run the world? And the answer is yes. We have such a tremendous and amazing chelik Elokai mimal inside us. It's almost as if the Eibishter is saying, let me hear what this little chelik inside you is telling me how to run the world. I'd like to hear. I want to hear. The Eibishter wants to hear what little, tiny, insignificant Moshe Feldman wants to say. Uvechein tein pachtecha. Al kol ma'asecha. Because there's no such thing as anybody who's unimportant. And now we come to the next, and many people will tell you, the most important part of child raising, of looking after our children. To give a child the feeling of the importance that he has. Not arrogance. And that's where the danger sometimes, the grey line, the grey area sometimes comes about. Not arrogance, but knowing what he's worth. Because a person who is about to daven, or a person is about to do a mitzvah, and he says, what does Hashem care about my mitzvah? He cares about my davening. He cares about my musaf. He cares about my ne'ilah even. He cares about my lulav and esrog. It's a joke. A person needs to have, the first thing we tell a child, you are extremely important. When the Eibishter said, V'atem tiyu li mamleches koyanim v'goy kadosh, he meant you. He meant every single Jewish person, man, woman and child. We're all part of mamleches koyanim v'goy kadosh. And without us, it's mamleches koyanim minus one. And that one is a vital, vital element. For each one of us to be able to be in Shul Yom Kippur and to say Elokeinu Elokei v'Seinu Melech al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha, the Eibishter needs that tefillah from us. He needs it at least five times on Yom Kippur. I think we say it in Yom Kippur now. Melech al kol ha'olam kulo b'chvodecha. That we need, the Eibishter needs those words from us. Self-esteem. To build the esteem, but not arrogance. Not to say, in other words, I deserve this and I deserve that. No. You do deserve many things. You deserve everything you need to help you in your furtherance of Avodas Hashem. and you'll be able to serve Hashem. You need everything, and that's fine. In Vayera, we find when the three guests came, Shlosha Anoshim, at that time Avram didn't know they were Malachim yet. Straight away, he Vayitel El Hana'a, says Rashi Zeh Yishmael, Vayimahe Lasli Slisai. Avram Avinu said the importance of my Gemilus Chasodim, the importance of my Achnosas Ochim, is together with my child. It's not something that I can do on my own. My child needs to be involved in the Hachnosas Orchim. And every mitzvah we do, where we can involve our children, that they should become part, A, so that they should be involved in the mitzvahs, and also in their self-esteem, how important they are to help me do the mitzvahs. That is what Avraham Avinu wanted to show, and wanted to achieve in running and helping, in allowing Yishmael to help him do the mitzvah of providing hospitality to the three guests. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Shmuel Anovi had great warmth and love for people. What did Shmuel Anovi say? The love for people is in me, in my neshama, because of the love and the warmth of the coat my mother made for me. As we know, Hannah was waiting for a child for so many years. She was teased by her co-wife, Penina. Penina had 10 children. This obviously hurt Hannah tremendously. And Hannah wanted to really pour her heart out to Hashem because of all the feelings. Chazal tell us, Penina l'shem shemayim nischavna. She wanted Hannah to really pour her heart out, and that's why she teased her and teased her and teased her. Hannah davened to Hashem. Hannah longed for this child. The famous song now, El Hana Hazeh his palolti. I davened for this child. I begged Hashem for this child. And now that I've been given this wonderful present, I'm going to dedicate this child to Hashem, to Avodas Hashem. Going back to our dear friend Josh, if we look at his dear children, and it's always a delight and a pleasure to see the Shields children in school and out of school. Yeah, the other night I saw Shmuel working in the Aluminium Centre in on King's Road. It shows the care, everything we've spoken about, plus much, 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 much more. That Josh and Tibodha L'chaim Anna is putting into their children. Anna from down here and Josh from Shamayim. Putting into the children the chain, the wonderful chain which cannot be taken for granted. Nothing can be taken for granted. It's because we're so used to everything going on in the world. We know we find the famous story that Esav held up Jacob's burial. He came running and he said, what's going on? And they said, we're burying Jacob. Burying Jacob? Where? Ma'ara Sabach Pela. Hey, that belongs to me. I'm the elder son. It belongs to me. No, but you signed a document to say that you sold the Bechorah to Jacob. Ah! That was only for that pot of soup. That's not valid. It wasn't a legal document. There was a legal document in Mitzrayim. Naphtali was sent. He was a fast runner. Naphtali Ayala Shalucha. He was sent to Mitzrayim to fetch a document. Meanwhile, says the Medrash, Hushim, the son of Dom, was deaf. He didn't hear the conversation of Esav and the brothers and Naphtali. He didn't hear the conversation. So he says, what's going on? Why is Zayda not being buried? What's going on? What's the holdup? And they said, because Uncle Esav is holding things up. What? He's holding things up? He took his knife, he took a sword, cut off Esav's head. Esav's head rolled into it. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, the question, all the Shvatim, the Shivtei Kor, they weren't upset that Yaakov's Kavura was being held up. Why just Choshen? Why was he more upset than everybody else? To the extent that he took his sword and cut off Esav's head. There's a prime and important lesson. Because the other brothers were taken up in the conversation. They were taken up in the whole discussion going on. So they got lost in conversation. It just became a rigmarole. Right, Naftali, you go and fetch it. Choshen, he didn't hear any of the conversation. He went straight to the chase. He went straight to the main point. Esav is holding up Zayda's Kvura, off with his head, literally. This is a lesson to us. We are Bamleches Kohenim v'Goy Kodosh, and we have so much to give to our children. We have so much to cater for our children, to cherish, with which to cherish our children. But because we're so taken up in all different psychological conversations going on and all different educational theories and Ofsted and everything else going on, what they want and segregation and suing and everything else, as we know about, and all of a sudden comes a Choshen and says, what's going on? We're playing around with our children's future? Mamleches Kohenim v'Goy Kodesh? It can't be. We forget and we start to take things for granted. And we again take things for granted. Our children mean much more to us than just taking it for granted and saying, oh, this is how it's going to be and that's it. We simply cannot do that. Two more things before we conclude. First of all, we are definitely, without a doubt, living in the final stages of our goddess. There's no question about it. The Holocaust, as we know, all the pangs of childbirth, of Mashiach, and then the birth of Medinas Yisrael, everything continuing. And the way things are going now, and all the simonim Chazal gave for when Mashiach comes, you could take a newspaper and you can compare notes. All the things Chazal said will happen when Mashiach comes, and you look at newspaper, it's happening. You can actually point and compare. Number one, number two, number three, number four. It's all happening, it's all there. Chutzpah and everything, it's all there. So we're now coming to the end of the Golos. At the end of Golos Mitzrayim, we were sitting and having our Seder with total devotion and dedication to Hashem. We were singing Hallel. While we were singing Hallel, Vatehi Tzo'oko Gedoila B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim, there was a huge cry and screaming and crying going on. Va'atem lo yisetsu ish mi pesach beisai. We're not to go out. None of your concern. All around us, all the streets, screaming and crying and shouting and shouting and screaming. It's a bahala. It's nothing you can do about it. Your job now is to sing and to have Korban Pesach and sing Hallel. Hallel and Nitzah. That's it. Later on will be Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the... Says the Chasam Sofer. It's exactly that. And he said it as a nevuah. Now it's actually happening. At the time when Mashiach comes, there'll be such a bahala going on, such a tzaka gedola all the time, such a rigmarole of all different narishkeit and screaming and shouting, and all different accusations and all different reelings going on. Your job is lo yisetsu ish mi pesach beisai, to stay where you are and to continue focused, to help our children be focused, to help our children go on the right way. Once we do that, we have the next generation secure. We're going to go together to see Mashiach Tzidkenu. Hold on tight. Hold on to my hands tight. Don't be distracted. Don't digress. We know what we have to do, and we can do it besimcha. We can do it with fun. We can do it with joy. We can do it with so much to help us nowadays. To help us. So many beautiful Svarim and beautiful sites that we can, kosher sites that we can go on and help us in our Veda. The second thing to finish up very quickly, I have to do justice to the title. The title was Looking After Our Children with Words and Song. To be able to sing with the children. Josh, Oliver Sholem, loved singing. He loved songs. He loved to be able to sing with the children. I remember I came round to the house to give a bar mitzvah present to Shmuel, and Josh was in the front of the house in the hallway. He wouldn't let me go until we sang our favourite song together, the Mikdash Shechtov. And we sang a few. This was on a Friday morning, and we sang. Do you remember? And we sang, and then I left. He wouldn't let me go without singing. When I went to visit Josh in the hospital, I always sang that song with him. And hopefully he sang with it in his own way at the time. To be able to teach our children Nusach. I know Alex Klein will be very happy for me to say this. To be able to teach our children Nusach. To be able to know the pure Nusach of davening. And to know basic, beautiful songs. There are so many songs today that are Jewish, but not really Masorah songs. I'm not going into the politics of that, right or wrong. But there are so many beautiful, beautiful songs, which are lovely, beautiful Nusach HaTfilah, and beautiful songs which we can sing at the Shabbos table, which Josh cherished so much and loved so much, and he's still singing together with the family every Shabbos, Min HaShemayim. That beautiful, to be able to teach our children, to look after the children with song. It's such a fantastic thing. Whether it's Matevu, whether it's Nusach of Shmain Esra, whether it's Poseach Es Yodecha, all different songs right through. And the children enjoy it. And they'll remember those songs forever and ever and ever. And you can teach them Mishnayos and Gemara and many things which are vitally, vitally important. What they'll remember most are the beautiful songs you sing together with them. They will remember that forever. These are beautiful songs that keep us going, that keep us really bound together. It's like the binding of the lulav, the negunim, the shir v'sishbachos, from David ben Yishai, Mashichecha, Yimitz Hashem, Be'ezus Hashem. We will come together with our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, all holding on to us, tightly holding on to us, being with us, in joy, in gratitude to us. And we to our parents and our grandparents and earlier Doris, all together, right through, each proud of the next generation. There's so much to be proud of. To be able to join together Barina over Simcha over Gila, Lekabel Panei Mashiach Tzidkenu, and Mitzvah Hashem, this Sukkot will be able to Lachoy Ges Chag HaSukkos, as the Haftarah says, Lachoy Ges Chag HaSukkos be Yerushalayim, to be able to celebrate Sukkot in Yerushalayim, together with all our families, ancestors and descendants, all together, with song, the Yom Tov of song, Sukkos. Mitzvah Hashem, this Yom Kippur, we should all have a Gemar Chasima Toivo. The Eber should sign us all. And in Mitzvah Hashem very soon, and Imamin Bemunah Shleimo B'tchias HaMeitim, Josh will be with us once again, Beguf as well. And we'll join him and join the family and everybody together. B'simcha lekabel p'nei Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mheira v'yameinu.
Amen. Amen.
Habt ihr gar nicht mehr? Ich habe gar nicht mehr.